bullshit again, but we are just getting started here on post-show recaps with season one, episode four of Pretty Little Liars, Original Sin, The Female Gaze. And of course, I'm not here alone. We gotta bring in my fellow detective to solve this mystery of who is A, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I'm doing really well. You know what's funny? Today I don't feel like being a detective. Today I feel like being an amateur filmmaker, and I wanted to ask you if you wanted to be in my shitty student film.
As long as I don't have to work with somebody who just randomly gets nude, I think I would do it.
Okay. I can't promise you that, but I
can promise
you.
It needs to be a safe set, Sarah.
It's supposed to be a safe set, but I can promise you that you can be the star.
Oh, well, then obviously I'm in. It is Leo season after all.
So, yeah. I thought that you would like that. I asked all my other best friends and they all said no. So it's fine. Because you're kind of my last resort.
And I love, can I just say, Farron is just such a legend. She just doesn't give a single F.
I love her. She's just like, she honestly just doesn't care. And my favorite bit this whole time was just like, I love that she is us and she's trying to solve the mystery a little bit of like Karen versus Kelly. But I also love how she straight up told that kid, like, please, Henry, please give Kelly a foot massage. Yes. Like, excuse me? This is what you jump to out of all things?
Well, because he needs to assess her feet. And I would assume that foot massages in ballet are pretty common because you're standing on your tiptoes.
Talking about what's creepy. Oh, that's very creepy. Going around and ask people if you want foot massages.
Yeah, it's super creepy.
Then I'm like, you know, when in high school, you wear a shirt that says, like, adios mio, and then every single day people are like, oh, adios mio, like they find something to make fun of you for. Now Henry's gonna be the foot fetish guy forever.
I know, but I think the thing is Henry can get away with it because he's so attractive. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's that thing where, and I don't know, we don't know what his relationship to the Karen and Kelly of it all is. We know he worked a lot with Kelly recently until Farron was back in the play, or excuse me, the ballet. And so we don't, maybe he could get away with it without it seeming too creepy, but I'm with you. And I love how Farron's like, cause she was like, oh, I have a crush on Henry, or she's talked about possibly dating Henry. And she immediately is just like, I'm going to let you touch another girl's feet because I need to know the truth.
But she doesn't want to be in the movie with him because she doesn't want to murder the person that she has a crush on.
Like, it's acting, Farron. You'll get to spend time with your crush. What are you doing?
I know. She's so stupid because then she's like, okay, now I have to hang out with Greg. Like, come on.
Yeah. I can't wait to get into everything, especially the Ouija board of it all. Oh my gosh. It's going to be so fun to talk about. But first, just some little headlines. If you haven't followed and subscribed to the podcast already, PosherRecaps.com/Pretty Little Liars is where you can find the feed. Of course, we're also in the HBO sector of Posho Recaps as well. We truly appreciate anything, any listening you're doing or any subscribing you're doing. Two episodes dropped this week, like we said before. I think it's like a 3-2-2-3 release. So we're going to be releasing this the day that the episode releases, and then we'll have one later in the week for you as well before next week's drop. But we have to do something that we promised to do for the past like three podcasts now, and we always forget. I'm so sorry if this is something that you're interested in. You're like, why can you not remember? We're going to rank the girls after four episodes, what we think of them, where they fall on our rankings. We got five girls to rank. Are you ready, Sarah?
I'm ready. Only five? I guess so.
Five, five OGs.
Six? Are we not including Kelly Karen?
Well, it's kind of hard because we don't know who she is right now.
All right. Okay.
I think it's a little tricky to do that.
Okay. All right.
All right. So why don't you give me your rankings first of all of the girls?
5 to 1 or 1 to 5?
Do 5 to 1. Do worst to best, I think.
Worst, Pretty Little Liar has to be Minnie. I hate her. I don't hate her. She's just like... she's just like a little dork. Like, she's too nice for the bunch. And I think that she can be a little bit boring. I am very interested to seeing what her big secret is, and maybe that will give her the edge that I'm looking for.
Yeah.
But so far, I'm just like not feeling her that much. Next up, I think I'm going to put Imogen here. Imogen, I like when she's a detective, but otherwise I'm like, she's kind of, I think it's because she, I don't know. I think obviously she's going through a lot, so she's a little bit of a sad girl. I think that if it wasn't for the fact that Farron has been like so much fun, then I think that she probably would have been higher in my rankings as of like last episode or episode two. Number three, I'm going to put Tabby in this spot. She was higher, but she keeps reminding me that she's like a miniature female Dawson Leary, and I'm kind of getting sick of it. And then number two, I'm going to put Noah. I really like Noah a lot, and I think that she could have been in my number one spot. I think that she's kind of the most down to earth. I think that she's the one that she cares most about, like she'll do anything for her mom, which I think is really sweet. I think that she's going through it, so I really like Noah. And rounding out my number one liar is kind of Farron. If it's not Farron, then Snow White. I think like those kind of switch back, but nonetheless, I really like Farron because she's so matter of fact and she really like doesn't give a shit. And I feel as though I feel like she got just like pulls into this whole thing and she's like, fine, whatever, if this is what we're gonna do, we're gonna do it. Sure.
Yeah.
But so that was, I know that was really roundabout, but Mini number five, Imogen number four, number three is currently Tabby, number two is Noah, number one is Farron.
Okay, this is the best part about us podcasting together, is we have very different opinions on characters. So my least favorite liar, and I will say to start off, I do enjoy like the five girls. I just think some of them are better than others, obviously. So Imogen is fifth for me. I agree with you. I like Detective Imogen, but when she's not Detective Imogen, I don't really care for her, and her outfits make me want to burn my eyes out. Like they're getting worse. They're very like Little House on the Prairie. Like modern Little House on the Prairie, and it's so awful. I hate it. Second to last, I have Noah. I like Noah a lot. Something for her just, I don't know. I don't know if I want her to be like, my mom, you know, she did do it this episode. There's just a little bit missing there or something. Girl, I don't know.
She is sacrificing herself for her mother.
But her mom sucks.
Oh, yeah. Marjorie is the worst mom by far.
Terrible. Third, I have Mouse. I love Mouse. Mouse makes my little nerdy heart sore. I think she needs more to do, though. I like, she could fall in my rankings if they don't give her a bigger storyline. I want to know what the tea is on her past traumas. I need to know. And I like what's going on with her and the boy she's flirting with, Ash. I think they're really cute. In second place, I have Farron. I am like you. I love that she doesn't give a single F. She will say what she's going to say. She's very blunt. She's like, listen, I'm not being nice to Kelly just because her sister died. Like, she still sucks. And I love that about Farron. And number one, of course, is Tabby. I love Tabby.
Even though she has Dawson Leary upside.
She does, but she's not as just so annoying as Dawson is.
This episode, she really is. And every single time Tabby speaks, she brings up a movie reference.
Yeah, every because single she loves time. Movies. I don't know. I love Tabby. So Tabby is my current number one. Also, she loves Jurassic Park. So like, da doy. Love Tabby. She's my current number one. So
very good.
Our rankings. We'll see how they change for the back half of the season. But let's start off in 1999. We got some Spice Girls going. Oh, Say You'll Be There is playing.
So good. That's one of the best. What's your favorite Spice Girls song?
I gotta say, I don't know a ton of Spice Girls songs.
Oh, this is awkward. I forgot that you were like legit like a Journey kid and not like a boy band kid.
Well, to be fair, I did get into boy bands, but it was after the Spice Girls were already like a big thing. Mm-hmm. So I would just say Wannabe because that's like the one I really know, but I don't know a ton of Spice Girls songs.
I will say Viva Forever is the slappiest bop. I hate that I said that, but it is the best song ever. It's so good. And it's like very emotional. Do you know Viva Forever?
I don't think so. No. It sounds familiar. The name does, but I couldn't sing it to you now.
Well, I could, but I won't.
So Angela and Marjorie are standing outside and Angela doesn't want to smoke because her mom would kill her. But Marjorie is like, here, just take one, take one. And then some guy comes out like a cop and Marjorie like hands Angela the pack and makes her take the fall. Yeah, hello, just, history she, repeating itself.
Exactly. Right away. She's like, it's not me. I didn't do it. Not mine. And then, Angela takes the fall for it. It really stinks. And it kind of just shows like what kind of person Marjorie is because she's doing the same thing for her daughter. She's not learning after all this time. And I just thought that it was like really crappy of her to do this.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely is. I mean, it's way worse to make your daughter take the fall for something, but and so she's like a teenager here, but it's just like, oh, so this is a pattern with you, Marjorie. Okay, cool. And we're going to be focusing on Marjorie for a lot of this episode because a lot of it is Marjorie and Noah focused. And so in the present day, Marjorie is at work. She's like, we've talked about it before. She's a nurse and she gets a gift. And it's a teddy bear and it has a Mother of the Year shirt on it and it's holding a pill bottle and on the pill bottle is written addict. And then we have this flashback to 1999 where she got Angela the same exact teddy bear, but it says like BFF or whatever on the shirt instead.
Yeah, as an apology. I'm sorry. An apology
teddy bear. Yeah.
But if you give me a teddy bear as an apology, I will throw it in your face. I hate plushies.
You hate? I mean, I think they were teenage. Did you hate them back in the day too?
Only from guys I liked it, but I don't
like
know.
Like a friend you didn't want to give you a teddy bear?
No. And then, of course, the A in year and the A in addict is mm-hmm. capitalized as an A.
Yeah, red A. Yep.
A red A.
So now we have, first they were going after Davey, and now they're going after Marjorie. So this is super interesting. Do you have any guesses as to what Pretty Little Liar and their mom will be targeted next?
Because
we've already had Imogen and Noah, so who will be next?
Maybe next we'll get like a Farron type of thing because she's starting to investigate. A little bit.
Yeah.
That could make sense.
I was thinking Mouse. I feel like Tabby won't be till later because Sydney is like the most involved of the parents. And so I feel like they'll save her. But then we're back in detention and Imogen gets a phone call. She is milking this pregnancy for everything. She's like, oh, I gotta go. It's my doctor.
And she's only 6 months pregnant. And I gotta be honest with you. Like I'm kind of ready for Imogen to have her baby.
She's 3 more months. I feel bad for this actress that she had to wear like a big pregnant belly for
the whole time. The whole time. And I think the fact that she's not really talking about the pregnancy and we don't know anything about.
We don't know who the father is.
Who the father is or what the situation was. I think that I'm getting like a little fatigued about it because I don't have any interest in the baby itself and she's pretending like she's not pregnant all the time. So I just kind of ignore the fact that she's pregnant until I see her like pregnant belly or the fact that she milks it or uses it as an excuse.
Yeah. And so she leaves and it is Mr. Thompson. So she's been calling in the entire graduating class for their parents because she wants to know more about what happened with Angela. And so she keeps asking about Angela and seemingly everybody is blowing her off and nearly hanging up immediately as soon as she brings up Angela. It gets awkward and she's really frustrated. Once the girls are all out of detention, they had 2 weeks of detention for what they did to Karen. And so Mouse asks, what's next? They haven't got any text messages from A in 2 weeks. Mouse wants to tell their parents what really happened to Karen, which I think tracks with Mouse as a character that she would want to divulge this information.
Boring.
She's a good kid. And Imogen says, you know what? It's weird. No one wants to talk about Angela. I keep calling all these people and not a single person wants to talk about her.
It is so strange. And that guy on the phone was extremely suspicious. So absolutely. I think that the more people are really secretive about Angela, the more Imogen is going to want to investigate.
Yeah, exactly. She's just feeling like this is very suspicious. Like there's stuff people aren't saying. And so we see Tabby go into the locker room again and like pulls out her GoPro. So then she hears people and she hides in the locker room and it's Tyler and Greg. So Greg was Karen's boyfriend at the time. And Tyler, I believe, is the one that had the phone.
Exactly.
Yeah. So they're talking about some girl named Trish and how like, oh, everyone's had sex with Trish and blah, blah, blah. And Tyler's like, oh, I came twice, bro. And the same time, I didn't even get out of her. I just came twice. And I was like, okay, this guy's gross.
Tyler's very, very gross. We don't know who Trish is, right? We haven't met a Trish.
Not to my knowledge. If we have, she wasn't very notable because I didn't remember who Trish was.
Right. And he said that he finished. Okay, gosh. He did not pull out. Is that okay to say?
Yeah, no, that's fine to say. Basically, what he said was like, because he was like, oh, because they were talking about, oh, she came twice. Oh, I came twice too. Like, yeah. This guy seems like a big fat phony to me.
Oh, definitely. I know that he doesn't have like the same issues that Greg does, but I don't think that he's that experienced either.
Yeah. I mean, this is like typical. This is literally locker room talk.
Yeah.
Which maybe that's what Tabby is capturing. Maybe that is what she's aiming to get on film. I know.
That was my theory, a documentary on that. Yeah.
Because it's interesting because not only that, but like when they do Tabby and Chip's film, they're doing it also in the locker room. So it's all very connected here.
It reminds me, I just finished the show Sex Lives of College Girls.
Oh, I loved that show.
And there was also like a whole locker room situation in that show as well. Do you remember?
It's been a long time since I watched it and I binged it in like a day. So no, I don't remember.
Basically, one of the girls went in and found out that the men's locker room was like so much nicer than the women's locker room.
Oh.
And she was filming in there and she like, I don't know, accidentally captured some undressed people.
Ooh, yikes.
I know.
So we're back at Tabby's house and Sydney tells Imogen, oh, well, there was a couple that put an offer in on your mom's house, but Imogen wants to be the one to pack everything up. And Sydney says, that's fine. We have some time. You feel free. And I'm just like, we see Imogen packing a lot in this episode. And I'm like, no one like offered to help her. That's so much. You're packing up an entire house. A 6-month pregnant girl is packing up an entire house.
I know. So I think that it makes sense that Imogen wants to be there to pack up the house, especially because Sydney was saying, oh, we'll just put everything in storage until you're ready for it. But yeah, I think that she definitely needs some help, some guidance. So maybe the packing company could assist Imogen, especially because she's 6 months pregnant. She shouldn't be lifting things.
Yeah, exactly. Then it's Friday. They're in film class and everybody has to be teamed up into partners. So Tabby and Chip smile at each other. We know they're going to be partners. In dance class, Kelly switches lockers to Karen's locker. And Theron takes note of this. Yeah. She's like, oh, I just like this one better.
Okay. For a person like me that's very particular about where I sit and certain things, like maybe Karen has the nicer locker. Like maybe it's a better spot. But it is very suspicious that she is starting to wear Kelly's leotard. Well, is it really that weird? Or Karen's leotards? I don't know.
It's hard to know. I don't have a twin. I don't have a sister. I don't know how often people switch, like swap clothes with
that. Maybe.
But she's dead. Like, you think that would be a little strange for her to be like, I don't know.
Maybe it makes her feel more connected to her sister by wearing her things.
Yeah, maybe it is, but it is weird. And Farron does take note of this. And so she's dancing with Henry, but freaking Madame Giry wants her to do one-on-ones with Kelly. And I'm like, you're just torturing Farron at this point because you're so, because she's so pissed because she's absolutely. Like, oh, your mom threatened a lawsuit. I'm going to torture you.
Absolutely. And I think that she's a beautiful dancer and I don't think that she needs tutoring, especially by Kelly, but this is what she's insisting. And essentially, Madame Giry says that it benefits Kelly as well because it keeps her mind off of everything.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's very strange. Then we see Noah, who apparently ran track prior to all the shenanigans happening with her, but she's out of practice. Her boyfriend is just being supportive and he's sitting there watching. He gives her like a little thumbs up, but her coach definitely says, don't worry, we'll like get you back on track. Ha ha.
Are you still suspicious of Noah's boyfriend or did you forget about him?
Not as suspicious, but he's still around. And so I keep note of him in my head. I'm like, I got my eye on you.
Because he's a football player. He's practicing too. It's like, what are you gonna like all the cheerleaders? There's 20 over there. Oh, they're suspicious too because they were around.
I don't know. So the fuck Sean is suspicious to me. Then we have Ash and Mouse hanging out, and he wants to hang out with her on Halloween. They're talking about the Spectrum Club again.
Right.
And he wants to hang out with her on Halloween. He says he wants to be Ziggy Stardust or Freddie Mercury, which is very fun. He wants to go crash a Halloween party, but Mouse says she's not allowed to go out on Halloween. It's too dangerous. But he's so cute. Instead of being like, oh, that sucks or your moms are terrible or whatever, he's like, well, maybe I could just come over and we could hand out candy with your moms. I was like, that's so sweet.
Yeah. And the mouse was like, yeah, that doesn't seem like a good idea or very fun. Why did she say,
maybe I can sneak out?
So Mouse is not allowed to go out on Halloween because it's quote unquote too dangerous, right?
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
So we know she has something in her past where her moms are like overprotective of her. And so something happened to her. And being that she is a bit shy and she is a bit introverted, I feel like someone did something to her, if that makes sense. It's not as much as like she broke a leg or something. Like, I think another person was involved in whatever happened to her. I think like there's a situation, maybe she was abused, like something happened where, and it, I feel like it has, there is a stranger involved. It wasn't a family member because her moms seem so reluctant to let her be out like alone by herself.
Yeah. Do you think that maybe she almost got kidnapped or something?
Could be. Maybe she was kidnapped and then they got her back after a few days. But no, I think that would have been, whatever it is, I don't think it's widely known because I feel like she would have a reputation as like, oh, she's that girl.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Unless they move towns. But yeah, you never know.
That's true. Well, no, her mom's.
Oh, at least duh. Mom's of course. Old. Sorry, I forgot. No, once you live in the sketchy town, you never leave the sketchy town.
You can't see your way out because it's so dimly lit in this town. You like physically cannot see.
It wasn't it once upon a time where they literally couldn't leave town. Whenever they got to the edge of town, they got like bounced back or whatever.
Yeah, because they were mind controlled. Yeah,
just like that. Except that it's just like, oh, I can't see the exit.
So we see Imogen at her old house, and throughout the episode, she has these different like flashes to different times in her life. And we see when her and her mom first moved in, she's super young. And they're like so excited, like, oh, you get your own room. And then Imogen goes into the basement and we see a through the. OK, when I was a kid, You know the stairs that have no backs on them?
I hate stairs without backs.
Yes. When I was a kid, I always thought I was going to like slip and fall through them. And this, now I'm terrified someone's going to reach their arm out and grab my legs.
I think that getting your arm, getting your leg snatched up with stairs without backs is extremely likely.
That's what I'm saying. This is why when you go into the bathroom, you check the shit behind the shower curtain before you like go to the bathroom.
Oh,
like,
I gotta check. That. I don't do that.
You need to start.
I do. I do.
Yeah. And so we see her. So she's in the basement and she's going through a bunch of stuff and then she hears voices. So she goes upstairs and we just see like a menacingly standing there. And there's the couple that's purchasing the house and Imogen is very sassy with them.
She freaks out on them. And yeah. I honestly thought that it was not too out of the blue or inappropriate for the couple. This is probably their first home that they're purchasing together.
Yeah.
They're really excited to go to the home and take pictures of it and to show your mom. But she's like, you guys are being so weird. This is not your house. This is my house. Get off my property.
I was like,
what the heck, Imogen? Like, they're so excited. It's not out of turn for them to want to take pictures of their new house.
No, I don't think it is at all. I think Imogen's obviously very sensitive about the topic. And then Imogen tells them exactly what happened in the house, or at least what she thinks happens.
Because I think that she kind of, you know,
she crossed a line. She knew it was going to make the sale fall through, which is exactly what happened.
I do think that as a real estate agent, you're obligated to share if somebody gets murdered in the house.
Well, the thing is, it was ruled a suicide.
Right.
So that's the problem, because Sydney says, why did you say what you said? They pulled their offer. And besides that, you told them that someone was murdered and that's not what happened. And Imogen like hates the idea of strangers living there. But we find out that Imogen's mom was in a lot of debt, which I thought was really interesting because we're just hearing about it now. And I guess I don't really know how this works. If you're the only surviving, if you're a kid and you're the only surviving member and your mom dies, does that debt just like poof? Like, it can't go to you. You're a minor.
I honestly have heard conflicting information about debt forgiveness when either a significant other or a family member passes away, as well as I've heard people being obligated to pay from the person's estate. So I think that it depends on, honestly, I think it depends if you have a good lawyer to have the lawyer.
Well, hopefully Corey is representing young Imogen in this, because
I don't even think Corey thinks about Imogen.
Probably not.
She's like, yeah, I didn't really like your mom anyway. You're on your own.
So not only that, but Don Thompson, who Imogen called earlier, told Sydney that Imogen has been calling and asking people about Angela. And Imogen says, there's a connection between my mom and Angela, and I know it. I know you're covering up something. And Sydney just completely basically disregards her and says, Sydney, pick out what you want from the house and just say goodbye to it because we have to sell it.
Sydney, I think that you are doing a huge disservice to your daughter and your daughter's friends by keeping this away, or like keeping this a secret. It has to be shared, especially because aren't they starting to get like creepy messages in some capacities too? Marjorie definitely is,
but I doubt she's shared that with any of the other moms. I feel like the moms are a part of like the OG PLL strategy of don't tell anybody,
right?
Versus the new girl strategy of we tell our friends, like smart people.
Yeah.
We include
old
others
school
in the conversation.
Versus new school.
Exactly. So we're back with Tabby and Chip, who are figuring out what they want to do for their project. And so they start talking about films and, they say, okay, we're going to do the Master of the Macabre. And so they pick Psycho, but instead of, they're going to change things up. instead of the victim being a young woman in the shower, it's going to be a young man in the shower, and the woman is going to be the murderer. So I it's like horror this. From the point of view of the female gaze, which is where we get our title from.
Right. I like this. I thought this was an interesting concept.
I did too, especially because I love that Tabby is constantly working, going against the grain, going against the what, like the what's in the zeitgeist type of thing.
Right.
She wants to make something new. She wants to challenge things. She wants to make feminist content. We loved, this is why I love Tabby. She's great. And so she's telling all the girls about the film and asking who wants to be in it. Everyone has excuses. Imogen's pregnant, so she can't do it. Noah doesn't want to do it because they're gonna have to break into the boys' locker room, and she's like, I'm on probation, I'm about to get my ankle monitor off, I'm not getting into trouble.
Smart girl.
Yeah, I think Mouse also agrees she isn't comfortable breaking into the boys' locker room.
No, she says that she doesn't like scary movies.
Oh, right. Which also so tracks.
Lame.
Oh my god. You know, okay, what?
I'll be nice. I'm sorry.
Not everybody likes scary movies.
I'm sorry.
So Farron is the only one left. And Farron is just like, well, who's the leading man? And they said, well, you could pick Henry. And she says, I don't want to stab my crush to death. And I'm like, Farron, this is about spending time with him.
I know. This was a big flop for Farron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. I feel like it was a bad option because especially when like Tabby's like, okay, let me see. Who can we choose? We need someone who's not going to be bothered by being objectified. And then, of course, Greg walks into the cafeteria like, hey, what's up? Like, hot man on campus or yeah, whatever.
Greg is like, you know, he's like flexing his biceps in the cafeteria.
I can't with him.
Yeah, and they're saying, oh, I suppose he's not mourning for so long.
Yeah, because he's like, I don't know. I mean, I guess they weren't the perfect couple. Like, they had arguments, but you think he'd be a little bit upset. It's only been like 2 weeks.
It hasn't been a lot of time. I don't expect Greg to only wear black and a veil and be dramatic like he's on the Gilded Age, but I do expect him to be a little bit of a sad boy.
I just think this is a terrible idea. I mean, even without knowing the results, the moment Tabby was approaching Greg, I'm like, this isn't a terrible, terrible idea because he's a jerk off. And how are you going to trust your project with a jerk off? You don't want to bring on a member to the group project that sucks. And Greg sucks. And so she approaches him and she tells him, like, she's like, you look just like Ryan Reynolds. And at first,
Greg
he's
loves
like,
that.
He does. That turns him around because at first he says, well, you made the video of Karen. But all he needs to hear is, oh, there's a shower scene with a hot girl, and he's there.
Exciting. Exciting stuff.
Stupid Greg. So meanwhile, Farron and Kelly are in ballet, and Kelly says, oh, I'm really sorry that we have to do this. And then we have this whole scene where Farron says, well, Karen said that the only reason I got the role of Black Swan is because I'm black. And Kelly tries to counter with, well, she didn't actually say the word, though.
Kelly, don't justify the disgusting things that you/your sister say.
I can't. Come on.
Also,
cannot.
I thought it was so confusing because they kept mentioning how amazing a dancer Karen is in this episode, but Karen was the one that didn't get one of the main parts. So I don't know why they were like, Kelly has improved as a dancer.
I don't know either. Was Karen going to be Black Swan when they kicked Farron off the role?
I don't know if it was officially spoken about, but I assume so. Yes.
So yeah, I don't know. It's kind of tricky then, I guess.
Because the whole thing was Kelly got the White Swan. Karen got the queen, and she hated that role because she wanted to get the Black Swan. Mm-hmm. And then that made us – and then her dad was like, you're not the best dancer. But now they're like, hey, Karen was the good dancer, and Kelly's been improving. And that's why Farron's suspicious, because Kelly's dancing like Karen.
Right, according to Henry. That's what Henry tells her. And, yeah, I guess that's true. And – And so Farron like bites back with, well, Jiri only feels sorry for you because your sister died. And Kelly's like, well, we don't have to practice together, I guess. We could just do our own thing. And then she says, you just be a queen, girl. And we get the flashback to Karen saying that exact phrase to Farron. Yeah.
I don't know if, once again, I would be suspicious of that, because once again, they're twins, they're sisters. They're
and that's kind of a common, like, be a queen girl. Like, it's not.
I don't know if, like, you be a queen girl is, I've never said the words you be a queen girl.
No, me either.
But you and I started hanging out a couple years ago, and I think that our phrases started getting shared because we,
yeah,
you know, and
we're not
even together.
We're not living together. We're not twins. Like, no. Yeah.
So I don't. Once again, I don't know if I would be suspicious yet, but I obviously was watching it in the lens of Farron, and I saw what she was seeing.
Yeah, we're definitely supposed to be suspicious of this, as we are.
Which makes me unsuspicious of it, because I feel like it's too soon to for them to actually be giving up the beans.
Well, I think. Here's the thing. We're in episode 4 out of 10. I don't think it's impossible that this could be a thing that's true, where it is Karen who's still alive, but maybe that just has nothing to do with A. Like, it has nothing to do with who A is. I still think it could be a mini mystery within the larger mystery, if that
could be true.
Sense. So Noah is in Sheriff Beasley's office, and I don't know why she's here, because it's not the day to get her ankle monitor off yet, but maybe she just has to meet with him. And he's just like, oh, I bet you're keen to get it off. Well, I'm not done with you yet. You're on probation for a year, so you can't mess up. And so then we see Noah talking to Sean about how awful he is. And Sean suggests, like, oh, maybe you should tell him the truth. And it seems like he's been bringing that up a lot lately, because Noah's like, not this again. You know, I'm not going to do that.
Noah would never. She doesn't want to betray her mom. She doesn't want her mom to get in trouble. She's going to lose her job if she does. So Noah's holding all this like responsibility on her back. It really sucks. And it sucks that Marjorie is putting her daughter in this position.
Yeah, because then Marjorie comes in, and obviously Sean has to stop talking. And she says, oh, well, Noah, you want to go see a movie? They invite Sean, but Sean says no, and he leaves. Then we have Imogen packing up the house. She finds a Ouija board.
Love it. Love a Ouija board.
I died when I saw the Ouija. I was like, oh, we're going here. We're going here now.
Of course we are. Of course we are. Every single 90s kid had an Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, this is her mom's.
Yeah, so that we flash back to her and her mom using one when she was a teenager before she was pregnant. So then Imogen goes in and asks Tabby if, like, all the girls want to hang out tomorrow so they could use the Ouija board to contact her mom. Oh, my God. And I straight up died. I was like, yes, we're going to get a Ouija board scene.
Would you do it? Would you do the Ouija board now?
No, I'm an adult. Like,
why?
Because what is the point if someone's going to push the thing around? Like, ooh.
No, it moves on its own sometimes.
I couldn't be bothered. But I do think we need to contact the Ouija board right now to see who our sponsor is going to be. So we'll be right back. We're going to go speak to the spirits just to see what's up. While you listen to this quick ad, we'll be right back. Okay, we are back. The Ouija board has spoken. What did we learn, Sarah, from the ghosts?
That's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. And Henry heard news of what Farron had said to Kelly. And I love Farron. She's just like, I can't pretend to suddenly like Kelly.
Yeah. She can't be fake. She is not a victim of what every person most people do when somebody passes away tragically, pretend like they were a perfect angel the whole entire time.
Yeah, just like, and
once again referencing Dawson's Creek, just like Jen Lindley.
Yeah, it's exactly like her. And but the thing is Henry says you should at least have sympathy for Kelly. And then he says she's gotten so much better, a lot better. It's almost like I'm dancing with Karen again. And Farron looks sus as hell. She's just like, oh no, now that you said that, it's like light bulbs even more going off in her head.
Yeah, she's taking this as evidence. Like, she is fully believing this whole thing. It is haunting her. And I'm surprised that she doesn't tell the other liars at this point.
No, she tries to tell Tabby later in the episode, but I think she wants to suss it out for herself first. So she goes to Kelly and she apologizes for what she said the other day. She's like, oh, you must miss Karen a lot. You know, I read an article that said that when something bad happens to one twin, the other one can feel it too. And you do anything for each other. And Karen says yes. And this is when Kelly says yes. And this is when Farron notices that she's wearing Karen's leotard.
Which I'm once again like, okay, you know, she probably wants to wear her sister's clothes. It's not that crazy. But she is just kind of finding anything to support her accusation and theory. I thought that Farron was being a little bit much in this scene to Kelly in terms of the questioning, because once again, Kelly just lost her sister, theoretically. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's like super inappropriate for her to go up to her and be like, oh, like you must really miss your twin connection. And, you know, she was your soulmate. It's like, I just feels like you're making her more upset by bringing all this stuff up. And she's just trying to mind her own business.
That, and no matter whether or not you're talking to Karen or Kelly, the other twin is still dead. It's not like, if this one's Karen, then the other one's not dead. No, whoever the one is that died, someone still died. And that other twin is still here. And so I think, it's like totally inappropriate. It's really pushing it too far. In my opinion, you know, she still is grieving and going through loss. But Farron is just a bad bee who doesn't care. She wants the truth. So Imogen has the Ouija board. And the girls all put the hands on and they talk to Imogen's mom, of course, and they ask, is she okay or at peace? And the thing moves to yes, and everyone takes their hands off. They're like, oh, what happened? Who touched it? Who moved it? I feel like it was Tabby.
Tabby
looked sus as hell.
I was thinking it was Farron so that she can stop this bullshit and just like, I'm ready to go home.
Let's just get this over with already. Maybe.
Exactly. I mean, like, I can definitely see it be Tabby so that she could, you know, control the narrative, because she probably thinks that she's in a movie.
Yeah, and it was funny because, so this is when Imogen starts.
Oh, it was. She did this stupid grin. It was definitely.
That's what I'm saying. Tabby looked the hell of a smile.
No, she did like this like little like side look and a grin. It was freaking Tabby. Tabby,
but I don't think
get out of here.
I don't think she was prepared for Imogen's reaction to all this, because Imogen starts asking questions way too quickly and they didn't even have their hands on the board. I'm just saying, where she's just like, what happened to you? Did you die alone? Did it have something to do with Angela? And I'm just like, Imogen, slow down. Like, you got to do one at a time.
Well, now this is a seance.
Yes. And so Imogen starts, like, she's just peppering all these questions and she gets really upset and she's like, F you, I hate you. And she says she wants to leave, and all the girls kind of like group around her and hug her.
Yeah.
I legitimately thought for a second we were going to get the little marker on the Ouija board moving by itself as they all so hovered around it.
I would have loved that. I will say that, so Tabby tries to console Imogen and is like, you know, it's okay. And I love that Farron says like, no, like let her have her moment to like work this out. And I thought that was really, really awesome in the moment too, because Farron's not afraid to have Imogen let out all of her emotions, no matter how messy or, you know, vulnerable it is. It's best to just like get it out, like, you know, feel what you want to feel in this moment. I thought that was like kind of like a interesting and cool line to sneak in there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Then we have freaking Sheriff Beasley doing an unannounced drop-in on Noah and her mom. And we find out that this is because he's allowed to do this as seemingly he is her probation officer. And he's allowed to do this, do unscheduled drop-ins, but this is the first time he's ever done it. And there's like one day left until she gets her ankle monitor off. So I noticed immediately as soon as he walks in, Marjorie is so obvious. She grabs her purse instantly.
If you were Sheriff Beasley, wouldn't you take the purse right away?
Right away. As soon as I saw her grab it. Yeah.
Right. But I suppose he's just so focused on getting Noah in trouble that he really doesn't even pay attention to Marjorie.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like he either, like you said, he doesn't notice or he's way too focused on Noah. And he starts searching the whole house. He finds like magnesium supplements or something. And Noah's like, I got them from the school nurse. Like, go talk to her. So as soon as he leaves, though, Noah knows immediately because Marjorie sets her purse down and she's like, what's in your bag? And Marjorie says, oh, sometimes I just take like half an oxy for back pain. And I'm like, Marjorie, why are you doing this?
Marjorie is not clean. She's not on the up and up like she promised Noah. Noah took the fall for her mom, probably in hopes that if she did so, then her mom will get her act together. And I don't know if it's all the stress from like what's been going on with like since Davey or what, but she's back to using substances again.
If I had to guess, I would say she's probably always been using. Like I'm very interested to know in the time that Noah was away and at juvie and all of that, if Marjorie did anything, right? If she went to NA, if she went to rehab, if she got any help at all, or if she tried to sweep it under the rug by having Noah take the fall and continuing to be an addict this whole time. But it's really sad because we're like, gosh, like Noah did so much for you and you are just like, you're blowing it. Like you're going to mess up her life. I mean, you already have messed up her life, but you're going to mess it up even further.
Right. Exactly. And the fact that in the next scene, Noah goes and checks the bottle and it's not even prescribed to her. She has stolen somebody else's prescription from the hospital that she works in. So not only is she abusing the substances that she has, but they're not even hers. And she is stealing from her place of work.
Yep, exactly. So we're on Wednesday. Noah searches her mom's bag, and this is when she finds the bottle. It is her last day with the ankle monitor. Luckily, she sneaks the pill bottle back in before Marjorie catches her looking. And then we have kind of a meeting of the minds with the film group to figure out how exactly they're going to sneak into the school. I love them using Swedish fish as like to represent all of them. Like I love in these shows where they do like where they're doing like a heist where they have to, okay, here's a map of the school. You're going to come in here. I'm going to come in here.
Where's the map from? Where did you get this?
Maybe they drew it. Like they know the school, although maybe they haven't seen enough of it because it's so dark in there.
Maybe.
And so they have questions about, okay, what are you going to use for blood? It's corn syrup mixed with food coloring. And Greg has to wear a Speedo because they're going to shoot around it to make it seem like he's nude, but he won't actually be. And so Greg is disgusting. We've been new, but like, come on. He's talking about, are you going to provide the condoms in case it turns into a porno? I can't with Greg.
Yeah, he's kind of a stereotypical teenage boy in these moments, and it's really obnoxious, and it reminds me why I don't want to ever hang out with teenage boys ever again.
Yeah, and Tabby this whole time is continually talking about a safe set, so we're not going to actually have violence. We're going to simulate it. We're not going to be nude. We're going to like make it seem like you're nude. This is going to be a very safe set, and I'm like, Tabby, all of that is great, but you picked the wrong guy if you want a safe set. Greg is not the person for the safe set.
No. They should have recast at this point. Mm-hmm. They should have been like, you know what? This is not the type of person that we want on set.
Yeah. Imogen is packing. No one's well here to help her.
I know. She finds the diary, right? She finds her own diary. I haven't read it yet, but I love when people read their old diaries because I just think it's the funniest thing. And I wanted to see if I can read the diary, if you don't mind. Okay. Here we go. Today was crazy stressful. School was way too much work. Why do you think it's okay to pile on so much work? We can't do anything else. This just isn't fair to us. I have plans. Not everything revolves around schoolwork. Which can I have? When can I have a social life or relax? That's what's super important too. I better get a break soon. Just like stupid teenage stuff. What's the next one say? People can be so cruel. I saw some poor kid getting bullied today. Oh, that's actually really sad. Aww. All right, Imogen. The next one was about Kelly and Karen. Okay, I am even more frustrated today. Kelly and Karen came into school wearing almost an identical top to the one I had on, but in pink. How is that even okay? They didn't even apologize or anything. Oh my God. Just went on their merry way. I just need to breathe and get some.
How get over it. Dare but they?
But they're the only friends that I had.
Oh my gosh.
Kelly talked to me today to tell me that Karen has been in a weird place recently. She's under a lot of pressure with her parents with ballet, probably because she's been a blank. So apparently, ooh, Karen's been under a lot of pressure with ballet recently.
But we don't know when that's from.
No, it doesn't say dates because Imogen sucks and she doesn't date her her diary entries. And
she's the reason she's last in my rankings. Her terrible peasant blouses and her lack of dates.
She uses a different color pen every single day.
Oh, well, that's
and her
nice.
Handwriting is really bad.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, I just love like stupid diary entries like this because it's always like so-and-so wore the same like headband as me. They suck. It's funny. It's so funny.
We get a flashback to her mom giving her the diary, and her mom tells her that when she was Imogen's age, she wrote everything down. So, of course, we know we were going to see the mom's diaries. And so Imogen starts looking. Finally, she finds a drawer full of diaries. And then we get the moment where Farron and Tabby are waiting outside the school because it's dark. They're waiting for the boys to let them in. And Farron starts to tell Tabby about her theory about Kelly being Karen, but Greg shows up. And so, of course, Greg sucks and ruins this moment for us.
Stupid Greg.
Hate him. Noah orders pizza. She gets a text message from A. She never learned her lesson. Mommy was going to throw you under the bus again, just like she did to Angela Waters.
That's very telling.
Yeah. And I want to know, too, like, because we saw that happen. We saw Marjorie throw Angela under the bus and then try to apologize with this teddy bear. But I want to know what happened after that. Like, did they have any relationship after that, or was it? Was that the end of the friendship, or, you know, I'm very curious.
Yeah. How much time in between that situation happened and then the end of the year party?
Exactly. That's what I want to know.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously this isn't, because Angela got dragged into like a warehouse looking thing by the police officer guy. So it makes me think that maybe she was being physically punished for smoking by this guy. I don't know.
It wasn't the 90s. It wasn't like the 60s. Like,
no, I feel like, I don't know. Like, was it her dad? I don't know. But it looked like she got dragged into this random warehouse. Like, I wonder if it was this guy that wound up, because we don't know why Angela came into the New Year's Eve party crying for help.
All we know is that her mom was mentally ill. I can't remember what they said about her dad. Was he dead? I don't remember. And that she asked the girls for help and they refused, especially Davey. Davey was especially harsh.
Right.
So, yeah, we don't know. But I love I'm really, really enjoying the fact that we have dual mysteries going on and that they're somehow connected. We have two generations with A involved somehow, and A could be Angela or whatever. I really, really think that's such a smart move on the point of the writers, because it brings the moms into the storyline and they're not just like these stupid parents who don't notice anything going on with their
daughters. Exactly. It's just that I wish that especially Sydney would listen to Imogen's concerns.
Exactly. So Tabby is giving Farron stage directions, and Farron's character is supposed to stab Greg's character, and she says it's all in the eye acting. And this is so great. Like when Tabby is like filming this, I felt like Farron did such a great job. She was acting with the eyes so well.
Yeah, she was smizing a la Tyra Banks from America's Next Top Model. And except Tabby's, she wasn't really.
She had anger in the eyes. Yeah, like intensity. Wide eyes.
Yeah, we see a heel shot. We see her holding this knife and angrily walking towards the shower. I thought that Farron's a natural actress.
I think it makes sense. She's into the arts with ballet. I feel like it tracks that
you
she's
have
good
to
at acting.
Emote. I think it helps that she is not, she doesn't have lines, or at least from what I've seen so far, because with dancing, you use your body to tell the story, but also you have to, your face has to dance with your face. Abby Lee Miller always said you have to emote from the face as well.
Dance with your face. It's like you're telling somebody to just smush their face on the ground and swirl it.
No. No.
It's like breakdancing where they put themselves on their head.
Yeah, and you have to emote. Yeah.
Dance with your face. But I do think it's worth noting that Tabby does suggest that maybe Farron's character like drugged Greg's character's drink. Maybe she like roofied him. Mm-hmm. Because that's going to come back in a little bit. Meanwhile, Imogen is reading through these diaries and pages have been torn out.
Very
so we're like,
suspicious.
What's going on? Meanwhile, Greg is totally butt-ass naked. This is not a safe set. Tabby is pissed because Greg is the worst. And I was really, really upset. I was hoping that Farron would have Tabby's back. I mean, Chip too. But I was hoping at least one of the two of them would have Tabby's back and be like, this isn't okay. You need to put the Speedo on. I don't care if it's squishing your balls. Like, put the Speedo on. It's totally inappropriate for you to be naked. But they seemingly are okay with it. And so Tabby's like, I need 5 minutes. And I'm like, right. I don't blame her.
Yeah, I don't blame her at all. She definitely needed a break. I think that the thing is that she kind of closed the discussion in a way. Because she was like, you're making your co-star, uncomfortable. And then Farron's like, oh no, I'm cool. I wish that she just was able to be like, I am uncomfortable and that's enough. You know what I mean? Like, I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's all it needs to be is I'm uncomfortable. You need to put on the Speedo.
Right.
So she leaves. And so she's outside walking around. And we see a flashback, or what seems to be a flashback, to what looks to be like some kind of party, like a bonfire party. And there's like a red Solo cup, but the vision is very blurry. Again, very similar to when she was at Wes's apartment. It feels like I can't tell if she's having a panic attack or this is a flashback to maybe she got drugged when she was drinking.
I think it's like some PTSD and it's manifesting into a panic attack. That's how I read it.
Yeah. And so she comes back inside. Farron and Greg have already left. Chip finished the scene by himself. He shot it alone. And he said, I did follow the storyboard exactly how you wanted it. And Tabby looks upset. I don't blame her. I feel like I connect with her in a little bit because we both maybe are a little bit controlling and like want to have hands on all aspects of the project. And she didn't get to see it. So she's not sure if it like meets her vision of what she wanted.
Yeah. I don't think that Chip did it. I think that he thought that he was helping her.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I can understand that like she's the director and she wants to have complete creative control on everything, even if he thinks that he followed her storyboards to a T.
Yeah. Yeah. Noah's pizza guy's here. So he's, and this is such a weird, this was really weird to me. She lives in an apartment building, so she's going to buzz him up, but he says, oh, my car is running. You have to come down. Excuse me, you are a delivery person. You are supposed to deliver.
No, that happens all the time. When I worked in the city, nobody wanted to come up. I always had to come down.
Are you kidding? That's a real thing? Mm-hmm. What does he mean, though, his car is running? Like, he can't park?
Probably. There's probably no parking. So,
oh my gosh.
So he probably also just doesn't want to come up. But yeah,
I thought it was really strange. But I've always lived in like more suburban areas, so I guess I just don't I'm not used to it. But she goes downstairs and the glass is broken on the outside of the door and there's a pizza on the ground. The smallest pizza
on the floor. Yeah. She ordered a personal pizza or like a small medium pizza.
Yeah, girl, get a large and save the rest for another day.
I know.
This is not the way to, especially if you're doing half and half, you got to get the large.
Can you imagine? She waited all this time for the pizza to get delivered and it gets delivered. It's the smallest pizza ever, but it's on the floor.
So upsetting.
I know.
So she is like, okay, I'm out of here. So she tries to go back into her apartment and there is A trying to get in. So she runs. I love the method of like banging on all the doors, yelling, help, help, as she's going. Like, don't
but
stop.
Nobody comes out. Her neighbors
they're monsters. They're monsters. And then she goes to like banging on the elevator button and I'm like, girl, take the stairs, take the stairs. You know, I'm getting like very, you know how it is in like scary movies. You're like, yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah, you have to respond. Mm-hmm. So she goes out the fire escape and A obviously follows her and starts grabbing at her. And
oh my
she,
God, like, made me so nervous.
Kicks him away and tries to close the door on him, but he chases her. And he's right there. Like he had hands on Noah.
Well, she is so – I love that they had the whole track bit earlier because then it makes this scene more impactful when she sees the gap between the buildings on the roof and she runs back. He nearly grabs her, but she just is giving herself the momentum to then do a running leap. And I for a second, when he grabbed her by the leg and ankle earlier, I thought he was going to rip off her ankle monitor and she was going to get in trouble because – like it looked like she took it
maybe
off.
Maybe that's kind of what he wanted. I mean, he kind of got what he wanted by her jumping across and it being just at the threshold of
she can't move any further because it starts beeping.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And they are across from each other and she screams to A, tell me, like, what do you want from me? Like, what do I need to do? Like, leave me alone.
Yeah. And this is the first time we hear A speak. I don't think we've heard A speak yet.
I've never heard A speak in any sort of way like this before.
No, the only time we've heard it is like when it's confirmed that X person
when it's
is A.
Revealed. Yeah.
So they want to punish the guilty. They say that Noah's mother is guilty. And this I thought was so wild. I thought Noah was going to call 911.
I did too. How did she know what exactly A wanted? It's like she read A's mind.
Well, I think it was a matter of like, what else could my mom be guilty of?
Right.
You know? Right. But she immediately calls the hospital, asks for security, and says that Marjorie has been stealing drugs from the pharmacy, so you need to go check her purse. And I was just like, why wouldn't you call 911 and be like, some creepy person is trying to attack me on the roof of this building?
Because A is literally trying to murder her at this point.
I'm just saying.
And he could hop over. Do you think that this was definitely a voice changer?
I will say it definitely sounded like a masculine voice, but I don't think that really tells us anything because the mask could have a voice change or worse, voice like modulator in it.
You want to know who my latest suspect is?
Of course.
Sheriff Beasley.
Tall. But Sheriff, he killed his own daughter?
Why? I mean, Sheriff Beasley... You didn't dance hard enough. You didn't get Black Swan'd off.
You're the crappy twin. I like the other one better.
Yeah. I mean, maybe once again, he knew Angela, was related to Angela somehow.
Yeah.
Dated Angela, something like that. And he's to get his revenge. And he's a police officer and police officers are supposed to all be about justice. And maybe this is how Sheriff Beasley is gaining justice for what has been wronged.
I was also going to say maybe that would explain why he doesn't seem – if the twins are swapped and he would know about it because he's A, so he wouldn't be suspicious of the swap.
Yeah. I mean, if it has to be a man, I think that that's or an adult option. I think that that's the only adult male that makes sense.
It's the only one we really know beyond Farron's father. We know him, but he's not in the show enough to be a real suspect.
Right.
So we see Tabby editing her film when she's home. And Greg, like, obviously you're editing around this, but Greg is laughing in the scene where he's supposed to be, or no, murdered. I guess this is, yeah, but I think that actually happens in the film. So I'm so sorry. I haven't seen Psycho, but I think that's actually what happens in it. But it gave me this very eerie, like, icky feeling watching it.
Well, she gets angry at this because she's clenching her wrist and she's looking at Greg and, you know, in despise, and she starts crying. So I think that Greg might have done something to our sweet Tabby.
Yeah, it's possible. Farron is looking at Kelly's maybe social media, looks kind of like Facebook, and sees a photo of Karen and Kelly, and she focuses in on their feet. And
this
then
is excuse me, you know, you had to pay good money for those pictures. You can't just share them on the HBO Max.
I also love this show is very handholdy with all their use of flashback to be super obvious, to be like, hey, don't forget Karen caught her foot on razor blades. We're going to show.
I will never forget that.
Because it's so ridiculous.
That there were razor blades in the ballet shoes. I am going to be 90 years old and be talking about the razor blades in the ballet shoes. Mm-hmm. You don't have to flashback to it.
Then we're at Thursday, October 29th. So we know Halloween is coming up. And Farron asks Henry for help. She says, what if Karen isn't really dead? What if it was Kelly? And Henry is like, this is deranged. But Farron says, you know what? If it really is Karen who's alive, she would have a scar from the razor blade. So I need you to massage her feet.
So dumb. And he's not like, what? Yeah. And he's like, what happens if there's no scar? And she's like, I'll let it go.
This is so stupid. And then we get Imogen showing the girls the torn out, like that there's a torn papers from her mom's diary. Noah comes in, her ankle monitor is off, but she is an absolute mess. I'm so shocked she didn't have a video conference with the girls the night it happened.
Yeah, what, like, what happened? Was Zoom down? Like, what's going on? And also, Imogen is so weird because she's like, why would a girl rip out pages from her own diary? It's supposed to be private. It's like, okay, number one, diaries are never private. They are easily found. Number two, sometimes you write something that's so embarrassing that you want to rip it out. I just don't think the only suspicious thing is that it's ripped out pages during the time in question.
Right. Like she felt guilty about something.
Yeah, but I just think that it's so funny that she's like, why would a girl rip out pages from her own diary?
Yeah. And Noah says A is back, and Imogen says, I think my mom did something to Angela Waters. I thought we were gonna get Farron giving her theory right here. I feel like it would have been the perfect time to lump that in. You already have A is back, you have diary pages torn out, lump in that Karen is really Kelly is really Karen.
I guess so. But I guess Farron doesn't want to be like, oh, that's a cool thing. You're sad about your mom. But actually, here's a different problem. You know what I mean?
I guess so. And that's our episode.
Yeah. there it is. I'm excited. I think the next episode is probably going to be a Halloween episode, it seems.
I would assume so, because we're on the 29th right now, so we're awfully darn close to Halloween. I think that'll be fun. Maybe we'll get some costumes, which will be fun. Get Mouse sneaking out, being a little bit of a rebel, possibly.
Get Imogen dressed up like a pumpkin or something.
No, she would definitely be someone who dresses up as like a
rag doll.
I was going to say, what's the one? There's no place like home.
Dorothy from the Wizard of Oz. Yeah.
Yes. Like a pregnant Dorothy or something. Oh, my God. No, she'd be that girl who does like she's the girl. There's two options.
Okay.
She's the girl who wears the black shirt that has like looks like a skeleton but has little baby skeleton hands and feet on the tummy.
Yep.
Or she's the girl who draws a big pumpkin on her pregnant belly.
Yeah.
Both of those could be true.
Either one of those could definitely be true.
No shade to people who do that, but we just think Imogen would. One little bit of news before we wrap up. There has been some big time drama with HBO Max recently. And so I'm a little concerned if for those who aren't in the know, basically, there is like a whole Discovery Plus integration and there's drama with HBO Max in terms of it no longer producing its own scripted content. Of course, Pretty Little Liars falls underneath that blanket of coverage.
And can you explain how the two are connected? Because I don't understand. If you integrate Discovery Plus, then why would that affect HBO's scripted content?
So it seems as though they are, because it's like Warner Brothers and Discovery merged. And then they are, those two, now Discovery Plus, is merging with HBO Max. And it looks like there is new leadership and they're going to be laying off like 70% of HBO Max's development team, which of course is going to lead to fewer scripted television shows. So like things that are on HBO, as an example, like your Westworlds, your Game of Thrones, those type of shows, those are HBO. Versus shows like stuff we cover, like Pretty Little Liars, like Time Traveler's Wife, the Max originals are possibly not going to be happening. And so I feel like that puts a big question mark to of Pretty Little Liars Original Sin, which would really stink. I think we're really enjoying the show. I think it's a fun teen drama. Obviously, we haven't gotten to the end of the season, so we don't really know. Are they going to leave it on a cliffhanger? Are they not? But just something to bring up as like an FYI to those who aren't like aware that all of this is going down. Potentially some of your favorites are in jeopardy, which really stinks.
Is there a hotline that we need to contact?
Probably Twitter, to be honest. Okay. So yeah, I would say fight for your favorites. If you have a favorite HBO Max original, fight for your favorites because we may be losing some really, really good shows, which it's really sucks. We've already lost some good shows this year. I don't want to lose any more.
Me either.
But yeah, we still have another episode to cover this week. Episode 5. We'll be back in just a couple of days with that. Subscribe posherecaps.com/prettyliteliars. You could send in feedback, jess@posherecaps.com. Of course, you can also hit us up on Twitter. Sarah, where can the people find you? What do you have going on?
You can find me at Sarah Ferguson on Twitter and Instagram. Of course, you can find Jess and I at Chit Undies Pod on Twitter and Instagram as well to see what we're up to over there.
Perfect. You could find me at the Jess Sterling, of course, also covering Paper Girls and Community here on Post Show Recaps.
And of course, League of Their Own.
Yes, League of Their Own is also another Amazon Prime Video new show coming out just like Paper Girls. So go check out all that amazing content. We'll be back in just a few days with more coverage for you of Pretty Little Liars. Until then, we'll keep trying to find out if you can't keep a secret what's going to happen. See you next time. Bye.